Morning, church family. It's good to see all of you here this morning to worship our Creator and King. If you're on Facebook, you may have seen this graphic going around that talked about that there's a little game today. I don't know if you knew there was a game today, but and I know our hometown team's not in the game, but it's still a fun game. And the graphic talks about that we should be as excited about our church and what's going on at church as we are about the Super Bowl. And so the graphic said, when your preacher makes a point, douse him with Gatorade. The good news is I don't think that'll happen, but if it does, I have a front row seat to where it's coming because we don't have a backstage entrance, so I won't be shocked by it. Let me ask you, have you ever been in a mall or an airport or perhaps a walking trail and you're either lost or you're trying to determine how to get somewhere very specific? But before you can do that, you first have to establish where you are. And so if you're lucky enough, you come upon one of those site maps that kind of lays out where you are, and you look for what? The little red dot that represents you are here. And once you can determine that point, everything else starts to make sense. That little red dot provides you with a point of reference, and then with a little bit of confidence at least, you can determine where your next move is going to be. So as we begin this new series, Give Life, Love Where You Are, I want us to first unpack and receive some of the last words of Jesus Christ to his disciples that provided for them a point of reference, if you will, so that they were clear. There was no doubt what they were to do and where they were to begin. And as we all try to determine what Jesus wants from us as his disciples, we need to be reminded that God has gifted to us abundant life for eternity in Jesus Christ. And I don't want you to walk past that statement too quickly. We're so enamored and immersed into the Christian community that sometimes we forget the beauty of life in Jesus. And I want you to hold on to that because we're going to keep coming back to it. And out of that blessing of life, God calls us to live missionally in our daily lives, whether that's where you live, where you go to work, where you attend school, the places that you frequent on a daily and weekly basis, wherever you go, God is calling you to share the good news of Jesus with people around you and beyond. We are God's ambassadors of life and love wherever we go, wherever we are. And so my prayer for us throughout this new series is that we would begin to see the world around us more clearly. That our relationships and spiritual goals would become more abundant and focused. And that we would be challenged to live more in tune with the ways of Jesus. Because here's the deal. You have neighbors that you see all the time. You have coworkers that you spend tons of time with every week, and you have places that you frequent every day. What if I saw those encounters with a new set of eyes as opportunities to give life? I want to invite you to join me in Acts chapter 1, if you have your Bible or your Bible app. Join me in Acts chapter 1, and again, these are some of the last words of Jesus to his disciples shortly before he ascends into heaven. I want to start in verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. I want to emphasize verse 8 one more time. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, this verse sounds a little bit like a motivational speech to me. I don't know if that's how it comes across to you, but it's almost like the coach at halftime or before the game starts trying to pump up his players right before they go on the field, and then he says, "Okay, go get them." And the coach usually doesn't disappear, but that's what happened with Jesus. And so perhaps a reasonable response would be for the disciples to turn to each other and high-fiving and that ridiculous chest bump thing and maybe getting excited about what comes next. But that's not at all what happens. They just stand there, staring into the sky, gaping mouths, eyes wide open, maybe pointing fingers as they're looking upward. Maybe thinking to themselves, is this really the end of our personal time with Jesus? They just stood there, staring. And so often, that's exactly what happens to us. We get stuck. We get stuck staring, wondering what we should do next. And over these next 3 weeks, we are going to get very specific about loving our neighbors around our homes, in our workplaces, and wherever we go, whether that be across the street, across town, or across the ocean. Because you see, the disciples were right where Jesus told them to begin their gospel witnessing program, if you will. They were right where he told them to start. They were near Jerusalem already. He told them, begin in Jerusalem. And yet, they just stood there, wondering what to do next. And that's when these two men in white show up, suddenly appearing. It wasn't weird enough that Jesus just kind of disappeared. Now imagine John and Peter standing next to each other and John going, "Peter, did that really just happen? Whoa, who are you?" One disappears, another appears. Not one, but two men dressed in white. And they reminded them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." In other words, the commission that the two angels here are giving these disciples is, don't just stand here. It's time to get started. He has told you what to do. And it begins here in Jerusalem. They were mesmerized by what they had just witnessed, and they needed a bit of a push, of a prompting to get started on their mission. And friends, this series is a prompting for us, because often we get comfortable. Often we get overwhelmed by our culture and what our culture says we should or can say or do with our Christianity. And we hide behind the scenes thinking, well, I probably shouldn't say that to them. When in fact, that's exactly what Jesus told us to do, is to share his love and his life and his hope with people We need to realize that God has planted us right where we are and that he is calling us to be about his business. He has planted us here in Southwest Fort Worth for very specific purposes, in your specific neighborhood, for a specific purpose, at your specific place of employment for a very specific reason. He has planted you right where you are so that you can accomplish his mission in that place. Whether it's at home, at work, at school, wherever you find yourselves, we are to love the people around us. The people. Listen, people are lost in Fort Worth, not lost by not knowing where to go or where they are. They know where they are. They don't know Jesus. They don't know him. Maybe they've heard his name, but they don't know him. And until your heart breaks, until my heart breaks for their spiritual condition, then we will never be givers of life. We will continue to hide in our homes. We will continue to stay to ourselves and keep to ourselves. And the message that is the best news in the world will be kept a secret. I'm kind of in my sweet spot, so just bear with me. Folks, it's called good news for a reason. Why would we ever keep good news to ourselves? Well, it might be a little bit, you know, abrasive. It might be, we might offend someone. Yeah, that's the lie that Satan wants you to believe in our culture. Jesus has called us to be his disciples. And what did he tell them that we're going to talk about next week? He told them, you go into all nations and you teach people about me and you baptize them in my name and you make disciples. This is our mission, to love our neighbors as ourselves. You see, we know the instructions. We know where we are supposed to start, but we often get stuck staring up at the sky, being overwhelmed by the circumstances. And Jesus calls us to love our neighbors where we are. He wants to use us to reach them. And this begins by a gathered group of people, much like this one, truly believing and realizing the fact that we may not be able to do everything to change the world, but we can do something. And this journey of giving the life and love of Jesus to others by offering ourselves, by offering the good news, it begins with this. It begins with this. I am here, and God wants to use me for his glory. I am here. Red dot. I'm here. And there are people that need Jesus in Fort Worth and in France. There are people that need Jesus in Austin and in Afghanistan. There are people that need Jesus in Iowa and in Iraq. It doesn't matter where we go. There are people that need Jesus. They may have heard of his name, but friends, there are so many millions of people who never have. How long? How long will we keep the best news in the world a secret? Not from the fact that people don't know what the church is and whatever, but from the fact that you and I refuse to share it and to give it. If we're going to make some progress, here's one step in the right direction. This is my neighborhood. This is my school. And this floor at this 20-story building, this floor, this is my floor. Not from a sense, not from a strange sense of entitlement or arrogance. That's not what I'm talking about. But from a sense of mission. This is my neighborhood. And I'm going to protect it. I'm going to protect it by sharing and giving life and love and peace and kindness to my neighbors. This is my workplace, and so I'm going to make sure that it is a wholesome place, that it is a place where Jesus is shared through life and love and peace and kindness. If we're going to be ambassadors of God's life and love, we must begin to develop some healthy habits, some healthy fruit in our lives. I want to give us three things to think about this morning. Here's the first one. Be present. And you're going, whoa, that's really earth-shattering, Hobbs. That's good. But really, there are times when we are here, but we're not all here. You following me? I mean, this happens, the easy example for me is it happens when Tara walks into the room and if I'm watching sports, I have to turn it off. If I don't, it's like, I heard you say something, but can you say it again? So I've learned, turn it off. Turn and give all of myself, all of my attention to her. Because there are times when we are in the room, but we're really not all in the room. We're not fully present. Back in Acts chapter 1 verse 6, the disciples asked Jesus about the future. They ask him about the future restoration of his kingdom, and Jesus comes back and challenges them not to let their minds solely rest on future expectations, but to find value in the present. No, I need you to be my witnesses now. I need you to be my witnesses starting right here in your hometown. He tells them that the kingdom reign will begin in Jerusalem. And oh, by the way, you're my witnesses. You are my plan. Go. Be my witnesses. And at times we can all seem so preoccupied and distant with others that are around us. Again, I often struggle with this. A few years ago, I was at a leadership conference for church leaders and even business leaders. It was just a big gathering, and one of my favorite preachers and authors, Andy Stanley, was speaking. And his topic was similar to this idea of be present. And he said, I want you to take this with you. And this stuck, and it's just one of the mottos that I try to live by. He said, wherever you are, be all there. Wherever you are, be all there. Appropriate words for a culture that's busy, overwhelmed, multitasking, trying to do too much at once. We need to simplify and refocus, and wherever we are, we need to be all there. The Lord has placed us in a specific location, a job, a school. Maybe it's going to be a trip abroad. But wherever you go and wherever you are, be all there. And when you're there, be ready. Be prepared to share the life and the love and the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. If we're going to be ambassadors for God's life and love, we must also be prayerful. And that's why we've been spending so much time on this over the past few weeks. We need to be people with palms up, offering every circumstance, every situation to God for his help, for his guidance. Prayer is what equips us to carry out our mission of being God's ambassadors. And so if we try to go out on our own, under our own strength, we will fail. But if we offer up this mission to God and ask for his guidance, ask for his wisdom, ask for opportunities to share life and love, then he will provide them. After the two angels back in Acts chapter 1 jolted the disciples back to reality, they decided to return to the heart of Jerusalem and stay there. And guess what? Guess what they decided to do? Look at verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Without question, prayer is the key to meeting the needs of those around you. Prayer helps us to see the needs of those around us, and it equips us to be the givers of life, love, and peace that Jesus wants to offer every single person on this planet. And so, as we talked about last week, as we develop a sensing heart, a heart that realizes and sees the needs of others around us, then we can begin to pray for those people and to do what we can to help them. And here's what I want to encourage us to do over the next 3 weeks. Here's essentially, if you will, our first challenge of this series. I want you to ask yourself this question. Who's your number one? Who's your one? Because you and I can't change the world all on our own. We can't share Jesus with every single person who needs to know him. It starts with one encounter. It starts with one relationship. And so who is your one person in your neighborhood, in your workplace, at your school, in that place that you frequent? Who is that person that needs to know Jesus by your words and by your actions? And maybe you've been doing this. Maybe you've already been in prayer for one, two, or three people. Let me ask you this. What have you been putting off or ignoring that the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do for that person? Because I believe it's something. Because God is always moving that opportunity a little further until that person makes the decision to be a disciple. And then once they make that decision to be a disciple, that's not the end, right? Then we teach them all things and we equip them and we walk with them as they grow in their relationship with God. And so what have you been ignoring or putting off that the Holy Spirit has been telling you to do for that person? Wherever you are in this, if you need to begin this type of challenge or you need to continue this type of challenge, let me just ask you again, who's your one? Because one of my greatest visions for this church is that we would be disciples who make disciples. So who are you discipling? Who are you pouring into? Who are you investing in? Because every single one of us are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We are to be givers of life. So begin praying for that one and see what God might do with that. That leads me to the last habit that I think we need to develop, and that's to be perceptive. Listen, these three habits that I've mentioned to you, they all kind of go together nicely. One of the greatest ways to be present, to be all there, is to ask God in prayer for his presence. For his presence. And to ask the Lord through his Holy Spirit, who is present, who resides within us, to help you see the needs, to be perceptive of the needs of others around you, to see them more clearly, and then to have the courage to do something about it. And that's not easy. To consciously always be on the lookout for the needs of others and then to do something about it, that's not easy. But it's one of the most highly tangible ways that we can be like Jesus. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you last week, we received news on a Monday that Tara's great aunt had passed away. And for those of you who weren't here last week, her great aunt was more like a second grandmother to her. And so for her and her cousins, it was a very deep loss. We got that news early on a Monday. It was like 5:30 a.m. that we got the text message. And you might remember that week, Ray had lost another loved one as well. And so we kind of got to the office about the same time that Monday morning. And he asked how I was doing. And I was able to share, you know, that Tara's aunt had died and there'd be a funeral that week, and we exchanged some thoughts about that, and then we went into our offices and started to get ready for the day. Well, my five-year-old Cayman had come with me that morning because he goes to ARC school. And he was sitting at the little table that I have in my office, and I went around to my desk, turned on my computer, and started getting ready for the day. Maybe 5 minutes goes by. In his little voice, he said, "Dad?" "Yes, son?" "Did Aunt Dean die?" "Yes, son. This morning, she went to be with Jesus." And then he said something that I'll never forget. He said, "That's sad. We should pray for her." And in that one moment, out of the mouth of my five-year-old, I realized the significance of being present, of being prayerful, and of being perceptive. In a matter of a few minutes, he had done all three of those, and I didn't even realize he was listening. He's listening. And he was aware, and he was perceptive. And his response, "We should pray." That's all I'm asking of us, church. That's what I'm asking us to do. So don't go home today and think to yourself, "I can't do that." Yes, you can. Our children can do that. Our children can do this. They're present. They're prayerful. They're perceptive. We can do that. The question is will we have the courage to be faithful in those moments where God prompts us to say, "Pray with this person. Do something kind for your neighbor because it's obvious that they're hurting. There's obviously a need here. Why don't you go talk to them?" And we'll talk more about that next week. May God bless us as we realize that God wants to use us right where we are for His glory. And before we close with an invitation, you just need to know today that if you have never obeyed Jesus, if you've never said yes to be a follower of His, to unite your ways with His ways, let me tell you, He is the ultimate giver of life. And He has given each one of us the opportunity to receive the life that He has given through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. He has given us the opportunity for life. If you want to know more about that life, the shepherds, I'll be right down here. We would love to talk to you about that. But maybe you're ready. Maybe you're ready to obey Jesus by confessing His name and being baptized into His saving name. We would love to witness that this morning. Whatever your need is, please respond right now. Let's stand and sing this song together.
Think about His grace. That